This is Fantasy Lowdown with Patriots Today's Brian Lowe.
Hand off Adrian Peterson. And there he goes! Inside the 20! Touchdown!
Who to start and who to sit? Who's a sleeper and who's a bust? Fantasy Lowdown, a weekly look at the upcoming weekend in fantasy football from a Patriots perspective.
Touchdown! Randy Moss! Another spectacular catch by this incredible football player.
And from all around the NFL.
Tomlinson finds a hole and he's on his way again. Is it four touchdowns?
Ask your fantasy questions. Hear from the experts.
We have our own in-house fantasy football geek, I mean guru, right here, Brian Lowe.
Let us be your weekly cheat sheet.
Make sure you tell your friends you heard it on
Fantasy Lowdown with Brian Lowe.
Welcome to the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com radio as we enter the month of October. One quarter of the way or so through the NFL season, but, you know, most fantasy football leagues wrap up before the NFL regular season ends. So, you know, we're at about just about the quarter pole, really, of the fantasy football regular season. And, you know, you hope you're in position to extend yourself into the postseason. So a lot to get to from a fantasy point of view. We always are very eager to get your emails and your thoughts. Webradio at Patriots.com is the way to get in touch with us, as it is to get in touch with any of the shows here on Patriots.com radio. And we've gone through quite a few over the first couple weeks of this show, this fledgling production here, and we're eager to get your thoughts. We have a few emails already in the inbox that we're going to get to a little bit. Who to start, who to sit, those are the main things. We're really just a sounding board, you know. What I really wanted to start off with is really how bad my advice was last week. Now, here's the thing. Carson Palmer, I had as my main guy.
It is what it is.
Main guy who to start. It really is what it is. In my case, it wasn't good. Carson Palmer was a guy who I really thought was going to have a big week. I thought the Bengals offense would have their big breakout week. And, you know, we do this show on a Thursday. I do a segment on Patriots Today, a fantasy segment on Patriots Today.
TJ,
also,
who's your mama?
Also,
championship.
That guy, exactly, Dan. That's another guy I thought would have a big week. You know, I do a fantasy segment on Thursday. Thursday is kind of the big day where I really focus in on the fantasy stuff. And the Carson Palmer development was late in the week, and I was really bummed because I had given some people some advice. I got a few phone calls, in fact, on Sunday morning, 11:30, 12 o'clock. You know, for us here with the Patriots, it was a bye weekend, so it was an opportunity to, you know, really spend some Sunday morning time on fantasy football related topics and questions and going through my own teams and who to start, who to sit. So I did field a few venom filled phone calls with some people who I advised the Carson Palmer have him start. And what am I going to do? It's a Thursday. You know, we can't redo the show on a Sunday morning. So I apologize to anyone out there who started Carson Palmer or who thought the Cincinnati Bengals offense would have a big week. Ryan Fitzpatrick just didn't get it done. And no big surprise there. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick, who is he? He's not exactly a guy who's going to be on fantasy football waiver wire radar screen so far, although it does look like Carson Palmer's injury is not exactly going to be he might not really be healthy this week. And that could be a problem for Carson Palmer owners. And whether or not Ryan Fitzpatrick is a guy you're going to want to pick up, I'm guessing no. But you never know. Maybe he is a guy that can develop a little bit if he gets a few weeks behind him. But as of now, we've got to say that the Bengals offense is a no-go. Another guy I was high on at this time last week, Rashard Mendenhall. Well, I have him in both of my leagues, both of my teams. I have Rashard Mendenhall, and I didn't start him in either league. I didn't think it was a good matchup. However, I had said all last week that I was high on him, and I thought maybe by this week, for instance, he'd be a guy to play. Or you know, they're playing Jacksonville this week, so maybe not so much, but he'd be a guy that would be would maybe be usable and could maybe round into a startable maybe number two running back. He gets hurt after another low production or during another low production game, and obviously he's a guy now that can you can probably plan on cutting if you he's probably not a guy who you can you're going to want to keep if you're in a keeper league. So Rashard Mendenhall, Carson Palmer are a couple guys who I missed on last week. And in our fantasy lowdown segment on Patriots Today, our television show on Patriots.com, I had Chancey Stuckey as a sleeper. I figured, hey, he scored a touchdown in not just the first game or just the second game, but in each of the first three games from Brett Favre. And he goes 0-for in a game in which his team scored 56 points. They had 8 touchdowns in that game. Count them, 8. And not a single one was by Chancey Stuckey, who scored a touchdown in each of the first three games. I figured, hey, three games, that's a trend, and how wrong I was. So, not a great week for me on advice, but I really hope that you'll stick with me and still send me your questions and send me your comments and try to get some advice on who to start and who to sit. Why don't we just get going right away with at least one of the emails that we have. We'll kind of spread them out over the course of the show. We've gotten a few already that have come into the inbox since we started the show, so we appreciate that. Web radio at patriots.com. All right, Paul from London, England, a weekly participant here. Hey, Bilo, me again, wanting some help. That's great, Paul. Love to hear from you. Last week's team won in Eric's league. That's one of the PFW leagues, and I'm now 1-3. Well, good to get the goose egg out of the win column and get a win. 1-3. Hey, hope is not all lost. Last week, my team picked itself up in my other league, and I lost because of Mendenhall. Here you go. You probably know most of the team off by heart, but I have had a few pickups. So it's an 8-team keeper league. You get a point for every 10 yards returned from a kick as well. Now, that's an interesting one. I don't think I knew that, Paul. Quarterbacks are Jay Cutler, backups Jason Campbell, and Tom Brady. You're right. We have gone through the Tom Brady situation every week. Don't have to worry about him. So Cutler and Campbell. Cutler, hey, no reason to sit Jay Cutler at this point. He's definitely a guy you're going to want to start every week hosting Tampa Bay. And Jason Campbell definitely doing better than anyone would think at Philly. So you probably want to stick with Cutler. Running backs, Chris Johnson and Darren Sproles. Backups, Brandon Jacobs, Felix Jones, and Darren McFadden. You probably had Brandon Jacobs on the bench. They had a bye week last week. You're probably going to want to elevate him to the starting running back spot, and I'd probably go with Chris Johnson and Brandon Jacobs and keep Darren Sproles, Felix Jones, and Darren McFadden all on the bench. Those are guys that may have some use, especially if you have bye week situations. But, Chris Johnson, or certainly Brandon Jacobs, you're going to want starting in there. Chris Johnson, Tennessee, at Baltimore, actually is a guy maybe you're going to want to consider swapping with, maybe with a Felix Jones playing against Cincinnati. But Brandon Jacobs you're going to want to have in there. Wideouts, Larry Fitzgerald, DeSean Jackson, and Randy Moss. Flex is Wes Welker. Tight end, Chris Cooley. Kicker, Prater, but Gostkowski is available. And special teams, Philadelphia Eagles. Mainly, I want to know if to play Jacobs or Jones ahead of Chris Johnson or Moss ahead of DeSean Jackson. Let's touch on the running backs a little more first. I like your instinct there. Jacobs has to be in there. They had a bye last week, and the Giants are playing Seattle, a team that you can score upon. So you definitely want to have Jacobs in there. Chris Johnson seems to be a little hit or miss. The more I'm thinking about it, I think Felix Jones might be your guy, Jacobs and Jones. Now, Moss ahead of DeSean Jackson. I definitely think you want Moss in there ahead of DeSean Jackson. I think we need a lot more body of work before we say that Randy Moss is a guy you want to sit. Randy Moss should still be in there every week. You wouldn't want to be caught with him on the bench with a breakout game. DeSean Jackson, like him a lot, and it's good to have him on your team there. But I think, especially with Reggie Brown being healthy and having a good game last week, they've got a few other guys in there. You're going to want Randy Moss in there. Larry Fitzgerald and Randy Moss, I think this week, will get you some points. Fitzgerald with Arizona, I mean, we've seen that Arizona can score some points. They do have a game against Buffalo, which has been, is a tough defense. But no Anquan Boldin, so Fitzgerald's numbers, maybe those will be up a little bit. I shouldn't say no Anquan Boldin for sure, but Moss and Fitzgerald are your guys there. Last question from Paul here. You asked on the first show if we wanted Christina Acra on the show. Yes, please, Brian. We're going to have to work on that. We'll have to work on that. I know that you're not the only
cherry
one
pie
who wants Christina Acra and her lovely laugh on the show. In fact, we see Gary Gradecki now.
She was in earlier.
Microphone. She was in earlier on PFW in Progress.
No, enjoying lunch.
Oh, well, as was I. I mean, she's not the only one there. Well, we will try to get her on the show. Not a huge fantasy football player, but, she knows her stuff. We'll get her on the show. We can, get some who to start, who to sit questions for Christina Acropaul. Hey, Paul, as always, thank you for checking in with us. Hope we give you some good advice. Start Brandon Jacobs. Start Randy Moss. That's what I say to you for this week. A few other topics of note that we want to get to. We obviously want to talk. I always like to talk about the current Patriots matchup from a fantasy perspective. Patriots 49ers this week, and we didn't have a Patriots game, of course, last week to discuss. But the Patriots Niners one is an interesting one. Want to know your thoughts on some guys from San Fran on who to start. And we touched on Larry Fitzgerald just a moment ago. How about that Jets Arizona Cardinals game? That's a game I want to talk about. Brett Favre hadn't thrown 6 touchdown passes in a single game in his entire career. He does so in game 4 with the Jets. And not that we didn't think he could he'd have that in him. But you know, 3 to Lavernius Coles in one quarter. I have Lavernius Coles in my in one of my leagues, and that was huge, getting the 3 touchdowns right there out of him. And the anomaly that was the Kurt Warner game, 40 of 57. Hey, if a guy throws 57 passes, you got to figure, you know, even if his completion percentage is around 50%, he's probably going to be up there in yardage. 472 yards for Kurt Warner and the 2 touchdowns. That's all well and good. 3 interceptions, however, a couple of fumbles, and if your league penalizes you for interceptions and turnovers, which I'm sure they do, you certainly had mixed emotions on the Kurt Warner game. Obviously, you like getting those touchdowns. Getting that yardage was great, but definitely a tough one for Warner and company. 3 wide receivers from the Arizona Cardinals go over 100 yards receiving. Fitzgerald and Bolden, we've seen that many times. And Steve Breston as well. Steve Breston, an interesting guy, if Anquan Bolden has some struggles. So if you're an Arizona wide receiver and you own an Arizona wide receiver, you're okay with all the Kurt Warner hiccups. Your wideouts don't get affected per se by fumbles and interceptions, other than the fact that it could be an intended target. Hey, Kurt Warner's going to throw the ball. He's going to get his completions. And if you own Larry Fitzgerald or now Steve Breston, you're pretty happy. Anquan Bolden, who I have in one of my leagues, I'm assuming he's going to be out this week, although we don't know that for sure. It looks that way. So you're going to want to keep him on the bench for this week. Another email that we have that we got over the course of the last couple days from Todd, and we'll get to that one right now. Good afternoon. Here are my start and sit questions for this week for my 2 teams. Team 1, all right, we'll go through this real quick. Pick 2 running backs here out of these 3. Marion Barber of Dallas going against Cincinnati. Ernest Graham of the Buccaneers against Denver. And Steve Slayton against Indy. I'll tell you what, Todd, you've got a tough decision there. I certainly wouldn't advise sitting Marion Barber. You're going to want to play him pretty much every week. And against Cincinnati, hey, why not? One more. Chris Johnson against Baltimore. Now, before you rule him out due to the D he's playing against, Johnson scored 2 TDs, rushed for 61 yards, and had 14 yards receiving against the 3rd-best run D in the league. That may be, and you're right about that, but and Chris Johnson is a startable player this week, but you've got 3 pretty good ones there, and especially if you're looking at the matchups, Ernest Graham against Denver and Steve Slayton against Indianapolis. Wow, those are 2 guys who you might not necessarily start every week. You're going to want to start them this week, but you've got Barber too. You got a little bit of a conundrum there, Todd. Just looking at some of the NFL stats, Steve Slayton playing against Indianapolis. Indianapolis's rush defense is 31st in the league. Ernest Graham going against Denver. Denver's rush defense 24th in the league. Marion Barber playing Cincinnati. Cincinnati's defense, 28th in the league. And Chris Johnson against Baltimore, number 2 in the league. Now, you're not going to want to start Chris Johnson this week if you have those 3 other guys. I hear what you're saying, Todd, about his statistics against a good run defense. That's all well and good. You're going to want to start Marion Barber and then take your pick between Ernest Graham and Steve Slayton. I might give the slight edge to Ernest Graham just because, I think that defense, the Tampa Bay offense has generated a little more than the Houston one has, Steve Slayton being a rookie. I like Ernest Graham. Ernest Graham really has only had 1 bad game of the 4 this year against, that was against Chicago. He can tear up a bad defense, no problem with that. I would probably go Marion Barber and Ernest Graham in that scenario. Now, as far as wide receivers, here's what Todd has. Pick 3 wide receivers out of the following 5. Greg Jennings. And he says, will Rodgers play and how will it affect Jennings? Lee Evans against Arizona. Calvin Johnson against Dallas. Is that right, C. Johnson? No. Dallas is playing against, oh, Chad Johnson, I'm sorry. Chad Johnson against Dallas, Deion Branch against the Giants, Vincent Jackson versus Miami. Well, your note about Aaron Rodgers is true, but I think Greg Jennings, who really is one of the top two or three wideouts so far this season fantasy-wise from a statistical standpoint, and let's face it, that's really all that fantasy football is, you're still going to want to start him. You can't sit him just because his quarterback might not be 100%. will his production take a fall if Aaron Rodgers isn't 100%? Perhaps. But you still got to stick with Greg Jennings there. Lee Evans against Arizona. Are you kidding me? Did you see what the Jets did against the Arizona Cardinals? I think you're going to have good production out of a guy like Lee Evans and Trent Edwards. And we're actually going to get to Trent Edwards in a little bit because I'm going to read something from a Matthew Berry of ESPN.com about Trent Edwards. I think the Buffalo offense is going to have a field day against Arizona. I think Lee Evans is going to be a big part of that. Chad Johnson, I can't see how you start him. I know I sound like a hypocrite. Last week when I was talking about Carson Palmer and the Cincinnati offense, I advocated starting Chad Johnson, TJ Houshmandzadeh, Carson Palmer. I thought they'd get on the right track there. Not this week. Don't count on it this week, especially if Ryan Fitzpatrick is in there. And against Dallas, I don't see that happening. Deion Branch against the Giants. You know, I think Deion Branch is going to have a chance to be productive and be a reasonable fantasy starter down the stretch. Not in this first game. Not with a cross-country trip against the Giants. I think the Seattle offense is going to be a little stagnant. Now, Vincent Jackson against Miami is an interesting one, and he's a guy I'd certainly feel okay starting. Miami does not have a great middle of the pack passing defense. If you can pick three, I'm going Jennings, Lee Evans, Vincent Jackson out of that five. But good options and a good scenario there. I think you'll do okay if you have Jennings, Evans, and Jackson going this week, Todd. Now, that was all just team one. I mean, Todd's going in depth here, and I appreciate that. That was just team one. For team two, he can pick one quarterback out of the following two.
So how long are we going here?
Well, we're going, Dan, that's a great question, but we're going as long as Todd needs. We're helping Todd out here. And Todd, if you even have a follow-up, despite Dan, despite Dan's...
Are you kidding me?
Despite the backlash I might be getting from Mini Gradecki over here, you can even send me a follow-up if you'd like. Pick one quarterback, Aaron Rodgers against Atlanta or Trent Edwards against Arizona. I'm going with Trent Edwards this week. But monitor Aaron Rodgers. He is playing Atlanta, and Atlanta, another team that doesn't have a great pass defense. So monitor that. But if Rodgers is a little banged up, you might be safer going with Trent Edwards. Pick three wide receivers out of the following three. T.O. against Cincinnati. Todd says obvious start. I would happen to agree with that. Eddie Royal against Tampa, Bobby Engram against the Giants, or Steve Breston versus Buffalo. And Todd says, I picked him up to play in place of my injured stud receiver, Bolden. Man, I hate those Jets. Well, you know what? That was a tough play for Bolden. I have him on my team, too, and it's one of those situations where I almost wish they just officially rule him out for this week, even 2 weeks if it's going to be. I don't want to see really too much, will he or won't he. If you can pick three wide receivers out of these three, out of these four, I'm certainly going T.O. I'd say go Steve Breston. Between Eddie Royal against Tampa or Bobby Engram against the Giants, I feel similar with Engram as I did with Deion Branch. I don't like the Seattle matchup offensively against the Giants. I don't love the Eddie Royal matchup against Tampa, but I like it better than Engram. I'm going T.O., Breston, and Royal in that scenario for you. Todd, much appreciated. Thanks for sending in those notes. More emails to come, and we certainly want to hear from you at webradio at patriots.com. We got a lot more to get to. Going to read a few things from a few columnists that I enjoy and look at some rankings for this week coming up and talk about the Patriots-Niners matchup as well. This is the Fantasy Lowdown Radio Show, and we'll be right back with much more right after this.
This is former quarterback Steve Grogan
and former linebacker Steve Nelson.
We want to tell you about the game with the greats.
Are you one of those old diehard fans who remembers our playing days, like the 1985 Super Bowl or the snowplow kick?
Maybe you just want to meet the newest members of the Patriot Hall of Fame, like Ben Coates or my good friend Stanley Morgan.
And Andre Tippett, one of my linebacking brothers. He'll be there too.
You think he'll bring his gold jacket with him?
I hope so. I can't wait to see it on him.
If you're a big-time fan, you won't want to miss the Game with the Greats. It's happening on October 5th at Gillette Stadium when the current Patriots are away at San Francisco.
Get your tickets now at patriots.com/alumni.
Hey, that's pretty good, huh, Steve?
Yeah, we still got it. We should call ESPN. We could be the next Mike and Mike.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
But we get Qdoba catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation. Party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination. Featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas tree shops, off-Broadway shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant and bar. A four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and a long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins.
Were you trying to get crazy with this, eh? Don't you know I'm loco?
Welcome back to the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com Radio, web radio at Patriots.com. That is the email address, and we'd love to hear from you with your fantasy questions, who to start and who to sit, and just kind of rant and vent, and let me know if you're if you're an Anquan Boldin owner and now you're worried about him, and you had Willie Parker on your opening day. You drafted Willie Parker, and you figured, to be on the safe side, I'll draft Rashard Mendenhall as well. And now you're completely screwed because neither one of them is playing right now. So you're scrambling to get Moel D. Moore or Najee Davenport or someone like that. Let me know. I'd love to hear from you. Love to hear your thoughts on fantasy storylines that are going on this week. Let's take a quick look just at some of the scoring leaders, the fantasy leaders from last weekend's game, something we'll do each week now, and just take a look at some of the top guys. And, I hope you have these guys. Brett Favre, obviously, if we're starting with quarterbacks, 6 touchdown passes, nearly 300 yards passing. That was just a massive game for him. Lavernius Coles, of course, who caught half of those touchdown passes. Matt Schaub sort of coming out of nowhere for Houston. He was maybe on the, had a chance to be even benched with the Houston Texans. He comes out with 300 yards passing and 3 touchdowns. in a victory. I'm sorry, actually, it was a loss to Jacksonville, but a solid game for him nonetheless. Drew Brees, who really has been maybe the most consistent quarterback performer fantasy-wise, 363 yards against the 49ers and three touchdowns. Hey, maybe that bodes well for Matt Castle and the Pats this weekend. You can certainly score through the air against the San Francisco 49ers. David Garrard of the Jacksonville Jaguars had one of his bigger games, only one touchdown, 236 yards, but no picks for him in the win over Houston. And Tony Romo, rounding out the top five here in a game against Washington, he had 300 yards passing and three touchdowns. We touched on Kurt Warner, too, who had just a massive yardage game and also threw two touchdowns, but three interceptions will certainly mar a performance like that. And you know, we also see that Jay Cutler continuing his solid performance yardage wise 361 yards, but two interceptions to go along with an interception for Cutler, as the Broncos had their disappointing loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. Speaking of those Kansas City Chiefs, as we look at the running back leaders from week four, Larry Johnson leading the way. If you have Larry Johnson and you've really wanted to be patient with him, that patience paid off. Just shy of 200 yards rushing and two touchdowns in the game for Larry Johnson, averaging 7.1 yards a carry, really the catalyst for the Chiefs in that game against Denver. Steven Jackson had 110 yards and a touchdown for the Rams as they lost and then lost their coach. They lost to the Buffalo Bills. LaDainian Tomlinson with a couple of touchdowns and 100 yards rushing. Adrian Peterson, Edgerrin James, and Chris Johnson, another three others who had two touchdowns in the game. And as far as 100-yard rushers, Clinton Portis had 121 yards, did not reach the end zone. So if you're in a yardage league with Portis, you certainly enjoyed that. Would like to see him get in the end zone as well. Didn't happen there for him. But, boy, Larry Johnson, a solid performance right there for him. Lavernius Coles leading the way for wide receivers. Looking at the performances from week four, catching three of the six touchdown passes that Brett Favre threw, and Coles catching eight passes on the day for 105 yards. Big game for Mohsin Muhammad. You know, 147 yards and a touchdown for Carolina in their win over Atlanta. He's a guy I have on one of my rosters, and I actually had him on the bench on Sunday. I was debating between Muhammad and Josh Reed, and I made a mistake there. Speaking of my mistakes, we've had a few of them. I did not have a great week last week, and that was one of the mistakes. Lance Moore, now that's a guy I want to talk about as well. He had over 100 yards receiving and two touchdowns, and it looks like he might be considered a go-to guy now for Drew Brees in that offense. David Patton, injury concerns continue for him, and we know Marcus Colston is out, still maybe out for another couple weeks. Greg Jennings, Kevin Walter, Jericho Cotchery, among the others, who had two receiving touchdowns in that game. So Coles and Cotchery were the receiving targets, mostly for the Jets' touchdowns. Not Chancey Stuckey. That's a guy I thought would have one. He did not. Larry Fitzgerald and Steve Breston both had 122 yards receiving from Kurt Warner for the Cardinals. Neither one of them reached the end zone. Meanwhile, Anquan Boldin had 119 yards and did reach the end zone before getting hit by Eric Smith and being carted off the field. We'll see what happens with him going forward, but certainly a guy who, if you have on your rosters, you're worried about with Anquan Boldin. Anytime you have an injury like that up near the head, not very good. A handful of tight ends got in the end zone, led by Jason Witten and Zach Miller, two guys who led the way in yardage as far as tight ends go, 90 and 95 yards respectively, and they each found the end zone. Antonio Gates, Tony Gonzalez, year in, year out, solid performers. They each reached the end zone. Greg Olsen, that's a guy from Chicago, an emerging tight end, I think, from a fantasy standpoint. I think you're going to want to keep an eye on him. He had a touchdown, and I think touchdowns from him are going to be par for the course, believe it or not. I think we're going to see more out of him. And if we just look quickly at defense, among those defenses that did well, from an interception standpoint and scoring a touchdown, both the Jets and the Buccaneers did that. Three interceptions, one of them returned for a touchdown for both of those teams. The Titans continue strong performances in the defensively, and the Bills as well. Let's just transition now to some of the rankings and projections for the upcoming week, week five, and we talk about which teams have a bye this week: Cleveland, Oakland, St. Louis, and the Jets. Much less of an impact for as far as the byes go than there were last week. Last week, both quality and quantity. There were six teams on a bye, some heavy hitters from a fantasy standpoint, including the Patriots and the Indianapolis Colts. This week, Cleveland, that's a team that struggled all the way through offensively. Oakland, three-headed monster at running back, but which ones would you start anyways? St. Louis, Steven Jackson, and that's about it. They have quarterback concerns. And the Jets, I mean, that's the most impact right there. Got to cool off Brett Favre in the offense after their strong performance. I like to look at Greg Rosenthal on rotoworld.com. We had him on earlier this year as a guest, and he does some excellent rankings, and these just came out. His goal line stand always comes out on Thursday, and we take a look at what he has projected. Quarterback, his top five are Jay Cutler for Denver going against Tampa Bay, Tony Romo for Dallas against Cincinnati, Drew Brees for New Orleans against Minnesota, Peyton Manning coming back after his bye, and their line is getting healthy, as Greg says. They're going against Houston, and Donovan McNabb for Philly against Washington. So really standard operating procedure there at quarterback. Those are five guys that you're certainly going to want to start. And as far as the matchups, you get a little bit of tweaking there. Sliding down a little bit over recent weeks. Certainly Matt Hasselbeck, he's down at 18. And we saw Chad Pennington have a big game against the Patriots. He's down at number 20 against San Diego. San Diego, however, really the worst pass defense statistically in the league. So Chad Pennington is a guy that you might want to consider this week, even if you don't consider him every week. Running backs, Adrian Peterson, number one. He going against New Orleans. That's a team that you can run against. Marion Barber against Cincinnati, number two. LaDainian Tomlinson against Miami. He's at number three. Marshawn Lynch against Arizona. Like I said earlier, that Buffalo offense, go for him this week against Arizona. And Frank Gore against the Patriots. Frank Gore, week in and week out, and really now season in, season out, is becoming one of the top running backs in the league. Craig Rosenthal projects him to be the fifth highest ranked running back this week against the Patriots. How do you go against that? We saw what the Patriots gave up against Ronnie Brown. You got to figure they'll shore that up a little bit. But Frank Gore, both whether it be the running game or the passing game, is an interesting guy. Just want to keep going on this list. Matt Forte, the rookie from Chicago. No sign of quitting of him so far. He continues to do well. And then Joseph Addai, Reggie Bush, Clinton Portis, and Brian Westbrook round out the top 10. Now, Rosenthal does give a note on Westbrook, ranked at number 10 as if he'll start, but we doubt he will. So keep that in mind with Westbrook, as I'm sure you would. Steve Slayton, ranked 11th on this list. Not bad. I mean, that certainly has to do with the matchup. Indianapolis, let me just see what they are. The Indianapolis' run defense is 31st in the league. So really one of the worst, and certainly the Steve Slayton projection factors that in. Brandon Marshall ranked number one at wide receiver, Larry Fitzgerald number two, and no Anquan Boldin should help him as far as his production. He'll be the number one target there. Steve Smith of Carolina against Kansas City. You got to figure Jake DeLome will be looking for him against that Kansas City secondary. Terrell Owens against Cincinnati, and Reggie Wayne against the Houston Texans. Keep the emails coming, Matt. Webradio@patriots.com, and we do have one now from Matt who emails us each week. Thanks for the solid advice last week, B-Lo. Matt, who is a guy I know, gives me happy early birthday wishes. I got a few of those. I do celebrate a birthday tomorrow, so keep the birthday wishes coming in as well. How about that? I'll be heading out to the West Coast on my birthday. I get three extra hours. Thank you, Dan. Thank you very much. But really, let's get to the most important thing, which is Matt's question here. I'm keeping my eye on the injury reports, but who do you like this week, Aaron Rodgers or Trent Edwards? On the surface, I'd probably say Trent Edwards with a slight edge on Rodgers, but a lot of that has to do with the injury. If both are healthy, Rodgers would get the edge. But if Rodgers, like you say, Matt, keep an eye on the injury report. I would certainly advise that. But he says, I was offered this trade and wanted to hear your thoughts. Matt would be giving up Maurice Jones-Drew and Dwayne Bowe. In return, he'd be getting Eddie Royal, Edgerrin James, and Brandon Lloyd. That's an interesting trade. Now, his first reaction, he says, my first reaction is to deny it. I feel like this other team is trying to sell high on Eddie Royal. I would agree, Matt. And I think I'm better off keeping MJD and switching him week to week with Marion Barber and Jonathan Stewart. As for Dwayne Bowe, KC doesn't really throw to anyone else other than Bowe and Tony Gonzalez. What do you think? My reaction is similar to yours. Giving up Jones, Drew, and Bo. I like both of those guys from a fantasy standpoint this year. I fully agree with you on Dwayne Bo. I think he's the kind of guy that even in an offense that doesn't fully have its act together, I think he's going to be productive. And if Larry Johnson can have games like he had last week, if they can open up the running game that way, that should open things up for Dwayne Bo. And like you said, Tony Gonzalez. And I think Maurice Jones-Drew, sharing carries with Fred Taylor, but Maurice Jones-Drew is certainly a startable guy. I agree on the Eddie Royal. I think selling high on Eddie Royal, he came out with a bang weeks 1 and 2. Production slowing a little bit with Brandon Marshall being around there. I don't like Edgerrin James too much. And Brandon Lloyd, I think he's had a couple of big games, but I wouldn't count on him. I would say do not make that trade. That would be my advice. Hang on to Dwayne Bowe. Hang on to Maurice Jones-Drew. Don't fall into the trap of selling high on Eddie Royal. Your instinct there, Matt. If you want to take my advice, and like I said at the top, I didn't have a great week last week. I hope I didn't screw you up. If you still stick with some of my advice, I say don't do that trade. Finally, what are your thoughts on Moss this weekend? My thoughts on Moss this weekend. My thoughts on the Patriots offense overall is that we're not going to see wild production out of them. I think this could be one of those ugly games offensively. San Francisco gave up a good amount of yardage last week to Drew Brees and company of New Orleans. I think there might be some yardage to be gained. I just think they need to show me a little more in the red zone. They're not scoring touchdowns, the Patriots. And while I think Randy Moss may get more targets coming his way and should catch more passes than the sort of three I think that he's been averaging, you got to start him. You got to start him, Matt. But I just don't think it's going to be a huge week. I think there will be some big weeks coming for Randy Moss and company. I don't think this is going to be a huge week. You've got to start him, though, just because, you know, he could break one loose. You never know. And like I said, there are some guys you just don't want to be caught having on your bench when they do have a big game. So my thoughts are that I'd start him. I wouldn't expect, you know, three touchdowns and 150 yards. They're struggling to get into the end zone, but don't count them out just yet. Matt, thank you again for the email, for the wishes, and keep the emails coming. Patriots, webradio at patriots.com, I apologize there, here on the Fantasy Lowdown, entering week number 5 of the NFL season. Lots of fantasy storylines, and we're going to keep getting to them. I'd like to read a little bit here from Matthew Berry, ESPN.com, the talented Mr. Roto, as he is called, and we enjoy having him. We hope to have him on the show at some point, and we enjoy reading what he has to say week in and week out. Now, the subject of his love-hate for week 5 column that comes out on Thursdays is Trent Edwards. He sort of isn't as high on Trent Edwards as I am, and he has some pretty good evidence here of some games. Not necessarily that he isn't high on Trent Edwards, just that the difference between a Trent Edwards and, say, a Kerry Collins hasn't really been all that significant. Here's what he says about Edwards. The Bills are a run-first team, and there's just not a ton of upside there. If he couldn't bust out against St. Louis last week, I don't know when he does. I was high on him going into that game, but I watched that game, and now... Look, there's nothing wrong with 200 yards and a score, but you can find it on the waiver wire in most leagues. You don't need to waste a roster spot on it if you're interested in some of the players I recommended you pick up. I assume most of you don't have Edwards as your only quarterback, right? Well, he's right about that. I actually have Edwards and Carson Palmer, so in some ways, for me at least, Edwards is my only quarterback. I mean, he was undrafted in the preseason, and he's not in the top 12 quarterbacks in points per game. But what about this week, folks say? He's playing at Arizona. They gave up 6 touchdowns to Brett Favre. I don't know why I'm yelling. That's Matt Berry talking, not me. I just love Trent Edwards. Yes, in that way. This has become awkward. I'm going to stop now. Go Bills. That was all Matt Berry. I'm just reading this. And maybe he does go off on the Cardinals. We don't know whether safety Adrian Wilson will play. He didn't practice Wednesday. And yeah, they sure didn't look good last week. But I'm not convinced there's a ton of upside there. Did you know that last year Trent Edwards threw exactly 0, count them 0 touchdowns on the road? This year, he has 2 touchdowns in 2 road games. Well, some good evidence there that Trent Edwards may struggle. But here's what he goes on to say, Matt Berry from ESPN.com. Fantasy is about putting yourself in the best position to win. We can't predict the future, but what we can do is look at trends and matchups and discern the possible from the probable. It's all about putting our teams in the best position to win. Sometimes that means just getting solid, double-digit points out of our quarterbacks. Fine, Trent's and many others are your guy. But more often than not, you win with upside, and Trenches doesn't have a ton of it from a fantasy perspective. Interesting thoughts from Matthew Berry. And when we were looking at the quarterback rankings from Greg Rosenthal earlier, he has Trent Edwards at number 9 overall. 9 overall would be starting caliber in most leagues. I don't fully agree with Matthew Berry on this one. I think Trent Edwards, while he hasn't thrown, you know, 4 touchdown games and hasn't had 300-yard receiving games and might not, he's kept the interceptions low. He's got some pretty good targets in Lee Evans and Josh Reed. And I think Marshawn Lynch helps the cause overall as well. I would stick with Trent Edwards, and I think you know, Matthew is right. Fantasy is about putting yourself in the best position to win, and you can only look at the trends and the matchups. I think that this matchup is one in which, objectively speaking, you have to think that the Bills, led by Edwards, can break through the Arizona defense. Arizona 16th in pass defense this year, so right there in the middle of the pack. And obviously they've had some decent games, but. You know, I think what the Jets did to them, maybe the Bills won't score 56 points, but they might get they might get a few touchdowns. And I think Trent Edwards will throw a few. I do want to continue here with Matthew Berry. He does have his players I love for Week 5, and among them Dwayne Bowe, who we were talking about earlier. And Matt emailed in about Dwayne Bowe and a possible trade offer. I'd stick with Dwayne Bowe. Devin Hester with the Bears. He says gut call. Hester looked okay last week. Here's one that I kind of agree with. John Kitna, Roy Williams, Calvin Johnson of the Lions. They'll be behind. The Bears are number 28 in the NFL in pass defense, and they're not going to have Nathan Vasher. I'll buy me a ticket to that rodeo. I actually picked John Kitna as my sleeper. As you can, if you check out Patriots Today this week, Patriots Today actually on Patriots.com. John Kitna, over the last 2 years in 4 games with the Lions against the Bears, he has not thrown a single interception. He's thrown 5 touchdowns, including one, a game in which the Lions hosted the Bears. It was either last year or the year before. 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, and he's averaging about 270, 280 yards against the Bears. So your gut instinct might be, I'm not going to start John Kitna this week. They're playing Chicago. You might want to think otherwise, and Roy Williams and Calvin Johnson could very well be the beneficiaries there. Ernest Graham and Warrick Dunn of the Buccaneers. I think we all saw last Sunday that even the worst offensive team in the league can run on Denver. I agree with that. I think Ernest Graham and Warrick Dunn, they might split carries. I think they'll both have big games. We touched earlier on the Patriots and Matt Castle. He says Matt Castle, Randy Moss, Wes Welker, and Sammy Morris. He loves them all. This is based on nothing more than a firm belief that the Patriots got a lot of stuff figured out during the bye week. I think he's on to something there. The Patriots probably did have 2 weeks to talk about not just any game and not just any loss, but a really disastrous performance against the Miami Dolphins. So both offensively and defensively. Now, it's interesting that Matthew says Sammy Morris really lists him as the only running back in his who he loves. All the Patriots running backs are seemingly healthy. None of them are on the injury report, including Lawrence Maroney. He missed the last game against Miami. So whether or not he gets the touches this week, Sammy Morris, maybe Lamont Jordan stays in there a little bit. Hard to say, but Matthew thinks that the Patriots offense will open up a little bit and have a big game against San Francisco. A couple players that Matthew Berry hates this week, Matt Ryan and Michael Turner. I said this last week, I agree. So far with those guys, when they're at home and they've played weak defenses, start them. They get great production. On the road against tough defenses, and this week it's against the Falcons are on the road against Green Bay. Not necessarily one of the tougher defenses, but a tough place to play. And he says, for Ryan, not even with the crowd-pleasing 2 first names. And Michael Turner, if you have him, you almost definitely have to start him. I'm not saying bench him here unless you have rock-solid options. What I am saying, however, is that I would lower expectations for him on the road and on the grass, where he has struggled a lot. Good advice from Matthew Berry. You might not want to bench Michael Turner, but keep the expectations low. Webradio at Patriots.com is who you can send an email to. We'll read it right here. If you have any who to start, who to sit questions, we still have another 15, 20 minutes left on the show. We're going to talk to my main man, Dan, behind the glass. He's going to chime in with some of his thoughts.
Too gender.
That's the one. Taking more of your emails and still talking about the week ahead. We'll talk about the Patriots 49ers game as well, and we'll be right back with more of the Fantasy Lowdown right after this.
We'll be right back.
This is former quarterback Steve Grogan.
And former linebacker Steve Nelson.
We want to tell you about the game with the greats.
Are you one of those old diehard fans who remembers our playing days, like the 1985 Super Bowl or the snowplow kick?
Maybe you just want to meet the newest members of the Patriot Hall of Fame, like Ben Coates or my good friend Stanley Morgan.
And Andre Tippett, one of my linebacking brothers. He'll be there too.
You think he'll bring his gold jacket with him?
I hope so. I can't wait to see it on him.
If you're a big-time fan, you won't want to miss the Game with the Greats. It's happening on October 5th at Gillette Stadium when the current Patriots are away at San Francisco.
Get your tickets now at patriots.com/alumni.
Hey, that's pretty good, huh, Steve?
Yeah, we still got it. We should call ESPN. We could be the next Mike and Mike.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Oh, we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation. Party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com. When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac-A-Tac sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac-A-Tac sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday. Patriot Place, New England's.
Back here on the Fantasy Lowdown Radio Show on Patriots.com Radio. Week 5, we're going into of the NFL season. Week 5 of the fantasy season. And I hope your team is team or teams are doing well and meeting expectations. Or, hopefully you feel like you have some time to recover in case you're not doing as well as you might expect. Always like to talk about the Patriots, the actual Patriots matchup from a fantasy perspective each week. And this week they're at San Francisco. From the Patriots side of things, you know, we heard some different thoughts from Matthew Berry, thinking that Matt Castle and company can do well. I think that there may be some improvements, but I don't have too high expectations for the Patriots offense this week. Greg Rosenthal is Matt Castle listed as his 22nd rated quarterback, and Lawrence Maroney, 25th rated running back. Sammy Morris, 34th rated running back. Randy Moss and Wes Welker, 12th and 15th respectively at wide receivers. And last but not least, Benjamin Watson, 16th at tight end. So not overwhelming diagnosis on the Patriots for this week. They're on the road. It'll be a tough test for Matt Castle. And, they could struggle. A lot depends on the running back situation and if they can get these guys to get on track, Maroney in particular. Dan, welcome aboard. We appreciate you being in the house, doing some producing behind the glass, jumping over to this side of the glass.
Doing it all today.
Even making some roster moves, I hear, during the show?
During the show.
Now, that's what we like. That's what we like. We want people to be listening to this show for this hour and just sitting in front of their computer, making moves as they go, asking questions. What moves did you make?
I can't stay with Carson Palmer anymore. I had to get him off the roster.
Gone. Off the roster.
Done. Cut ties with him.
Wow. You know, I can't blame you. And who'd you pick up?
Brian Griese.
Hey, you know, interesting guy. Now, who else did you have on your roster? You have Garrard, right?
I got Garrard and Matt Cassel.
Garrard, Cassel, and now Griese.
Yes.
You know, I mean, listen, when you put your faith in Carson Palmer, which you're not the only one who did at the beginning of the season, and then he has just terrible production, injury situations, and just seemingly going to be unreliable really all the way through the season, you know, you can do worse, I think, than what you have there. And you know, if you have enough spots in your roster where you can carry three guys, and maybe once bye weeks get out of the way, you can only have to worry about two. But you know, I mean, this week Brian Griese listed on RotoWorld as the number ten quarterback, Garrard 13, and Cassel 22. You know, you got some options this week. I mean, tell me if I'm wrong. You picked up Griese thinking you can start him this week against Denver.
Yeah, they're playing Denver. That defense has been anemic so far this season. So, you know what? He's not going to do any worse than my other quarterbacks on the roster. I'll tell you that.
Denver, 31st ranked pass defense. You can pass.
He had a big week last week. I expect him to do it again this week, especially against Denver. You know, they're on the road, but better than Carson Palmer. That's all
I
can
say. No question. And you know what? I have Griese on one of my teams, too. And you know what? I will not be stunned if he is not. I mean, he very well might not be the quarterback, say, 3, 4, 5 weeks down the road. Jeff Garcia, Josh Johnson, you never know what John Gruden's going to do. And if you're a Brian Griese owner, you weren't a Brian Griese owner when the season began, you're not going to hesitate to cut him. Ride him out as long as you can. Play the matchups. I don't think you made a bad move there. And you got some options. You know, maybe Cassel against St. Louis in 3 weeks is a game where you're going to want to start him. Maybe Garrard. You know, when they play, I don't know, they play Houston or something. You might want to start. They just did. He had a big game. If they play Houston again coming up, so you got some options there. Not a bad move.
Yeah, I mean, I feel fine with Garrard as my QB, but they're playing Pittsburgh this weekend, and I don't think that's a great matchup right there for him. So why not go with Griese when I can, and hopefully he can just keep the interceptions down.
I like the thinking. I mean, you could be looking at, you know, being in a tough spot and have to pick up a Ryan Fitzpatrick or a Joe Flacco, guys who just are far, far less overwhelming than a Brian Griese. So not a bad move.
As long as I have my running back still throwing touchdown passes like Ronnie Brown.
Ronnie Brown.
A few weeks ago.
Absolutely. But it's interesting with Ronnie Brown. I mean, I guess he's a... you know, is he or isn't he a must start every week? It's a good question. I don't know the answer to it. With Ronnie Brown, you know, we saw what he did against the Patriots, but not necessarily a must start every week. You want to play the matchups, and this week, you know, against San Diego. San Diego does have the worst ranked. We talked about Denver being 31st. San Diego's the 32nd ranked pass defense, and you know, they're much better against the run. They're 13th, but you know, with Ronnie Brown, I mean, he can do a lot of different things. I mean, what do you think on him this week?
Well, I just find it unbelievable that San Diego's ranked last in passing.
Yeah.
After the great year Cromartie had last year,
right?
Pick up a guy Antoine Kayson in the first round this year, you would think they'd be much better at passing defense, but
and they did. You know, Cromartie did have a pick six against against Brett Favre a couple weeks ago.
That's
so they're kind of a hit or miss defense, I guess. I mean, you could score upon them. Maybe there's some risk reward there. They bite on passes, you know, you never know with those guys out there in San Diego. But yeah, they've been a bit of a disappointment week in, week out. You know, and that's an interesting matchup against Miami because we saw what they did against the Patriots. Can they keep that up? Is that after the bye week? Is that going to be a big offensive output again for Pennington and company?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Miami bounces back, just like the Patriots had the week off last week. So are they going to carry momentum from the game here in New England all the way out to San Diego? You know, it's hard to tell.
Yeah, San Francisco and then San Diego's
this week.
Right. The Chargers play Miami and then New England. Those are their next two games.
I'm sorry, it's at Miami.
Miami. Right. So Miami. Right. Exactly. Interesting matchup there, nonetheless. Just looking at a few of the San Francisco guys in this game against the Patriots, JT O'Sullivan ranked 19th on RotoWorld, three spots ahead of Cassel. O'Sullivan has certainly been a surprise, a former practice squad guy here. He's on his eighth team. He hasn't played for all eight. He's been with all eight, but hasn't actually gotten into games with all eight. Obviously, it all revolves around Frank Gore. He's fifth ranked at the running back spot. Now, wide receiver is very interesting with this team. They've got three guys who have had some pretty decent production: Isaac Bruce, Arnez Battle, Brian Johnson. All sort of middle of the pack guys, matchup guys. But Isaac Bruce intrigues me. You'd figure he'd be washed up, but he's playing the way it was, the way he was in 99, 2000, 2001. Doubt he does it week in and week out, but certainly looking at some 100-yard-plus performances. And Arnaz Battle had a big game as well. So if you have any of these San Francisco guys, you certainly have some questions as to whether or not you want to start him, but some intriguing choices nonetheless.
Yeah, and that Mike Martz offense, any of those guys, any given week can have a big week. So it's kind of hit or miss with that. But you can definitely assume some of those guys to put up big numbers occasionally.
Here's one who really hasn't put up big numbers, and what a disappointment he's been from a real football and fantasy football perspective, is Vernon Davis. Thought maybe this would be the breakout year for him, their tight end. They drafted very early in 2006. He's in his third year now. Really very little production this year, and you figure maybe, okay, you got a guy like JT O'Sullivan as the quarterback, maybe there's a bit of a security blanket feel to it, and Vernon Davis, athletic tight end, can get open, catch some passes, but really has not done much of that. The 14th ranked tight end going into this week, what went wrong there?
Well, it'll also be interesting to see this week after the comments that Vernon made following last week's game regarding not getting the ball enough, if the coaches take that to heart at all and kind of them for a little bit, or you don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah, you got to step up your play first, Vernon. That's what I think. Real quick, just some of the top defenses going into this week according to RotoWorld. Number one, the Chicago Bears at Detroit. I happen to think that John Kitna and the Lions will be able to have some success against Chicago. As I said, Kitna has done pretty well against Chicago the last couple of years since he's been the Detroit starter. Titans defense against Baltimore. Dan, I know you were saying you have Tennessee. I have Tennessee.
I can't wait.
This
shutout.
It could be a shutout, and it could be, they could force. I mean, I don't know if you watched Monday night Flacco against, against Pittsburgh, and that was a road game, so a little bit different there. This would be a home game for Baltimore, but that is one offense that does not impress me. McGahee's been hurt. LaRon McClain's gotten a little bit of the action. I mean, they've scored a few touchdowns here or there, but I think I agree with you. Tennessee's going to eat them alive.
I think the Titans are going to come out this week and finally welcome Joe Flacco to the NFL. He really hasn't been put under too much pressure, and I think this is his week.
Meanwhile, number three defense is Baltimore against Tennessee. Tennessee's offense maybe done a little better than we'd expect, and hey, they're 4-0. You got to give them credit there. Lendale White, Chris Johnson, they've both had their moments. Kerry Collins hasn't been bad, sort of in that Trent Edwards realm. So they're number three. Cowboys defense against Cincinnati. Certainly, if you have the Cowboys defense, you're excited about that matchup. Ryan Fitzpatrick really struggled in that spot start. Although it might not be a spot start, he might get another one. And then the number five defense, actually, which surprises me a bit, the New England Patriots against San Francisco. It's a bit of a surprise.
Very interesting, very interesting. But everyone always says, coming off a bye week, Bill Belichick, 2 weeks off, he's game planning.
And it really is amazing how true that is and how much that resonates across the country. The Patriots and Belichick really have to give us some real evidence that they can't rebound from a game like the Dolphins before we say, hey, they're not going to be anything special. Fifth-ranked defense, that's showing some respect for what this team has done in the past. And again, it could be one of those games where, sometimes they have a performance where one guy gets some yardage, maybe even reaches the end zone, but they shut down the rest of the offense. Wouldn't be surprised if it's that kind of game. Frank Gore might get his yardage. He might find the end zone once, maybe even twice. But overall, they'll keep this offense at bay. They'll keep JT O'Sullivan on his heels. And it could be one of those games for the Patriots D.
Yeah, I mean, if you let Frank Gore run a little bit wild, maybe pick up 150 yards, a touchdown or two. But if you can get JT O'Sullivan under pressure, New Orleans sacked him six times last week. So you get JT O'Sullivan on his back, maybe mm-hmm. throw a pick or two. You can run away with the game.
Absolutely. Have I ever told you what I think about kickers?
You like them?
I don't. I don't. No, it's not that I don't like kickers. I think kickers, having kickers...
I hope Gostowski's not listening right now.
No. It has nothing to do with kickers personally.
Oh, not personally. Okay.
No, here's what I think about kickers from fantasy. I refuse to select a kicker until the last round. You might be the best kicker in the league, but your opportunities are more of a factor of what the rest of the team is doing. And it's much harder. If it's hard to predict what the actual QBs and running backs are going to do, it's even harder to predict what opportunities the kickers are going to get. Almost, I'm not trying to be on a high horse or anything, but almost to prove a point in one of my leagues, I want to take a kicker towards the bottom of the barrel, and I picked Sean Sweesum of Washington, who's, you know, week in and week out, he's one of the lower-rated kickers. He's done great for me. Yeah. Last week, I think he had, what do you have, 3 field goals? You know, even this week, he's number, you know, number 19 for kickers. I mean, are there some kickers that are better than others? Of course there are. And it's nothing personal against kickers. I want to have a good kicker on my team. But I just think it's even harder to predict kicking opportunities than it is, the rest of the QBs, running backs, and wide receivers.
Bilal, I cannot agree with you more about this.
Nice, Dan.
In my fantasy league, I probably selected a kicker at least 3 rounds after the last person in the league selected their kicker. I got Ryan Longwell of the Minnesota Vikings this year. He's having a great year, probably one of the top kickers in the league this year, and he was a steal.
I don't like taking a kicker before the last round. I'd much rather take a chance on, say, you know, a running back who's part of a tandem running back situation and take my chances. You could have injuries there. I'd much rather take a dark horse wide receiver or even a third quarterback before the last round. And then in the last round, okay, take the best kicker available. With that Sean Sweason thing, that was just a one-time thing. I just kind of was, you know, wanted to almost do a little trial run, see if a low-rated kicker can do well. I'll generally take maybe one of the better available kickers. I mean, if Steven Gostkowski is out there, you figured going into this year, great all-around offense, and you're going to want to go with him. But I won't take one until the last round. But that being said, the top 5 kickers this week from Greg Rosenthal of Roto-World: Nate Kading, the Chargers kicker against Miami; Matt Prater for Denver against Tampa Bay; Josh Scobie of Jacksonville against Pittsburgh; Steven Gostkowski, the Patriots against San Francisco; and Rob Baronis of Tennessee against Baltimore. So a lot of it does have to do with, the matchups and which offenses are going to score the most. And, you get your extra points, you get your field goals, and go by that.
I find it's so much more of a byproduct of the effectiveness of that team's offense in the red zone and being able to actually push in the end zone. You know, even if Steven Gostkowski wasn't a great kicker, he's going to get his opportunities this year because they've been having some trouble in the red zone.
Right. Well, as it's turning out now, I mean, because of the Patriots, you wouldn't have thought going into the season that the Patriots would struggle as much as they are in the red zone. You figured it'd be more extra points for him because they actually score those touchdowns, but not so much. So, Dan, hey, thank you very much. We love getting your insight.
Thank you,
Bilal,
and happy early birthday.
Oh, you're too
kind. To the West.
You're too kind. Yeah, going out west with the team. Traveling out to see San Francisco and San Diego, staying out there as well, and we will have the Fantasy Lowdown radio show next week. We do have the Fantasy Lowdown segment in Patriots Today. Be sure to check us out. Christina Acra, you'll see her on the show, of course. Christina and I on Patriots Today every single day, and we will have those shows coming out from the Bay Area next week from California. We'll be out there. Fantasy Lowdown next week. You can check out our blog also on Patriots.com. So the operation heads out west. We'll be out there. Good luck to every one of you in your fantasy week this week. Webradio at Patriots.com. You can send us your questions all week long, and we'll get to them every Thursday from 4 to 5. My thanks to Dan and to Gary. That'll do it for the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com Radio.